with all the Maple Leaf fans I'm sure you've talked to in your personal life, I feel like this is the most jaded, and that's a hard thing to do. This is the most jaded Maple Leaf fans have been heading into a season, and I think their expectations are super low. Are you feeling the same thing?
Oh, yeah. So I had my first men's league game last night.
Okay,
and, how'd you do? You know what? I bought a new stick, and it has a goal on it already. So,
wow, look at you.
Nice. Yeah, I might hang it up because, you know, it's so rare. But after the game, you know, a lot of the guys know what I do, so they're asking me questions, and I would absolutely agree with you. You know, Leafs fans are a little jaded, absolutely. And it's hard to blame them, right? Like, five times with this core going to the postseason and not winning a round, and that was probably the most spectacular collapse was to your Habs being up 3-1 and just not having it, you know, not being able to finish the job. We got 82 games now, and really all that matters is what happens after that. So I understand the fan base. I realize that it's like, yeah, we love your skill. We love the fact that Austin Matthews won the Rocket, all these great things. Yes, you finished first in the Canadian division, but we need to see it in the springtime. And you know, I don't blame the fan base for feeling that way.
When it comes to the playoffs, Luke, I'm not completely sold that the Leafs are a playoff team right now.
Ooh.
I think it's going to be tough.
George.
Luke, when I look at this, I think we can agree that over the last, I don't know, 3 or 4 years, on paper, this is the weakest roster they have. Can we agree on that?
We cannot agree on that. Because,
really?
And I'll tell you why. Because I like their defense. I think last year, the defense was the best it's been in a generation or so. And that defense is all coming back. You know, people don't talk enough about what TJ Brody did to solidify this team. And yesterday at the media day, Tyler Toffoli said that when he knew that the Montreal Canadiens were going to win that series is the moment Jake Muzzin went down with a pulled groin and was then able to finish game six and could not play in game seven. The fact that, you know, Muzzin and Brody, and they still have a year of Riley left, Rasmus Sandin, you got to expect that he's going to step up a little bit. I think this is a decent decor. So I wouldn't say that this is the worst roster they've had with this core. The forwards, I think there's where you maybe have a point, because I think this team is going to miss Zach Hyman immensely. They've tried to fill him by committee by bringing in Nick Ritchie and Michael Bunting and Andre Kasha. And, you know, yesterday I was watching Josh Hosang skate with the guys. He's on a PTO. And they seem to be throwing a whole bunch of things at the wall and see what sticks, you know, cheap deals, and hopefully they're able to fill Hyman by committee. But I have my doubts that they're able to do that. I think this team's really going to miss Zach Hyman. So I see what you're saying about up front, but I think the decor, all those guys coming back, is going to make this team a playoff team.
I like Andre Kasha, too. I think that's a very under-the-radar move that may pay some huge dividends, because that guy, when he's healthy, was really good with the Ducks, especially early on in his career. The reason why I ask is the goaltending, right? Like, obviously, how much confidence do Leaf fans have in that tandem of Mrazek and Campbell?
Yeah, I think it's mild confidence. It's going to be fascinating. It's been a while, right? Like, basically, the whole Freddie Anderson tenure, if he was healthy, you knew who their starter was. And then now all of a sudden they've gone to the tandem mode. And basically, I think Sheldon Keefe is just going to have to ride the hot hand all season. It's going to be a battle. You know, Jack Campbell was their guy in the playoffs, and he played spectacularly, but he's never taken on like a 50, 60 game workload over 82 games. You know, he's never proven to be that guy. And Mrazek has, you know, a whole career of being a tandem guy. He's basically shared a net wherever he's gone, whether that was in Carolina or whether that was in Detroit. He's kind of a streaky goaltender. When he's hot, he looks like he's one of the best in the world. And then he'll go for a month where, you know, you don't want to give him the start because he just doesn't have his game, or he's had injury problems. So it's going to be a managing of who's hot and a managing of who's healthy. You know, Kyle Dubas has admitted that basically one of his faults was he kind of overworked Freddie while he was here, and it taxed him too much. So I think it's going to be pretty close to an even split. But I think that's a good thing, the fact that they're not putting all their eggs in one basket. They have two guys that hopefully, you know, get hot at different times, then we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and just the whole playoff thing is because they're back in the Atlantic Division. Atlantic Division's good, man. Oof, it's tough. Tampa's right there, obviously. Boston seems like they never drop off, and obviously another year older against that roster will mean something. But the Panthers are an up-and-coming team. I'm not sure what the Habs are going to be in the regular season, but they just got to a Stanley Cup final. The Senators are improving, and yeah, the Red Wings and Sabres are going to suck, but it's a tough road for the Maple Leafs in this division this season, Luke.
It really is, and it's going to be fascinating. I think I look at Boston, and I see, you know, the fact that Tuukka Rask isn't ready to go at the beginning of the season, isn't even signed by them, although that's where he wants to end up. And I wonder about their goaltending. You know, we'll see what Linus Allmark can do with a team that has much higher expectations than Buffalo did. But I think there's a little bit of magic there in that whole group knows that this might be Patrice Bergeron's last year. It's certainly the last year of his current contract. So I think there's going to be a little bit of inspiration going on in Boston. Taylor Hall finally has peace of mind and some term on his deal. I think he could have a nice year. You know, the fact that he finished strong with the Bruins. Tampa, you know, they're my number one seed. I know they basically lost their whole third line due to the cap and some trades, but I you know, they have Hedman, they have Vasilevsky, they have Kucherov, they have Point, they have Stamkos. I just think there's so much star power on that team that they're going to be a force. And like you said, Florida's up and coming, and they gave Tampa a really good run in the playoffs. So it's going to be a battle. I do think the Leafs are going to make the playoffs, but, you know, getting home ice advantage is going to be a huge struggle.
Luke Fox, NHL and Maple Leafs writer for Sportsnet.ca, joining us here on Sportsnet today. George Russick, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. In your mailbag yesterday, you mentioned that potentially Morgan Rielly could walk here. He's heading into his final year before he hits unrestricted free agency. He's making $5 million a year, and producer Sam and I had the conversation yesterday on the air that I feel like the puck drop on opening night is sort of a soft deadline here. If there isn't a deal done with Morgan Rielly long-term by then, is there a deal to be had with the Maple Leafs long-term here, Luke?
Well, the way Kyle Dubas has been talking sounds like he's in no rush, that he's going to take the patient approach. And it's it's kind of a similar tone, yep, as he struck when he was talking about Zach Hyman and Freddie Anderson last year. And this seems to be the organization's pattern, right? Like we saw it with JVR and Tyler Bozak a few years back. They seem to not be afraid to walk guys out the door. And I think that maybe they've crunched some numbers and said, you know what, Morgan Rielly at $5 million is worth it to us, even if it's only 1 year. And, you know, that comes with some criticism because is that good asset management? And I think if they were serious about trading Morgan Rielly, I don't look at training camp. I look at the draft. When Ryan Ellis got moved, when Rasmus Ristolainen got moved, and those teams got really good returns for defensemen, right? But, you know, part of that was getting futures back. And Kyle Dubas is in a position where he doesn't want futures. He wants to win this season, or quite frankly, his job might be on the line if they don't go deep. So he'd rather, I think, hitch his wagon to Morgan Rielly because he figures there's no better option that can help him right now. And, you know, I've heard him say, you know, that just because Darnell Nurse got this massive contract and Seth Jones and Zach Werenski and the price for defenseman went through the roof, he's hoping, you know, maybe we can get Morgan Rielly on longer term, less money. But I don't know. I this feels like a Hyman scenario to me. It feels like this would be Morgan Riley's chance to really cash in. So, you know, I don't think there's any guarantee that he's coming back. They might just walk him out the door.
But how can they do that? Like, I get it with Hyman, right? Because what are you ultimately getting for Zach Hyman, right? A draft pick? You're not going to get too much for Zach Hyman if you traded him. But Morgan Rielly, I think we can agree on this, Luke. I think that number starts with a 7 in unrestricted free agency, the deal that he was signed this upcoming summer. I think that's the minimum for a guy like Morgan Rielly, who can play on your number one power play unit and be in your top four. And we saw the ridiculous amounts of money that teams are playing for defensemen. How could the Leafs potentially let a guy, an asset like Morgan Rielly, walk for nothing? I think that's just a bad move by the organization. You can't manage assets like that, because if you were to trade Morgan Rielly, I'm sure you can get a ton for that guy.
I'm sure you could, but most teams are pretty set on their rosters, right? Like I said, I think the time, if they were going to do it, they would have explored it at the draft, and there was no indication that they were even seriously considering it. I think he's going to stay. Now, whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, I think that can be debated, but I'd be shocked. I'd be absolutely shocked if they traded Morgan Rielly. The only scenario is if by the deadline they're out of the race, and then of course you do it just because you want to get something back. But as long as they're in the mix, I'd be shocked if they traded him.
So there's a scenario where they trade him to a team to get that extra year, and they just get a pick for him, for a guy like Morgan Rielly. They're going to let that asset walk out the door.
Well, now you're getting way ahead of ourselves.
But it looks like it's heading that way, right? Unless they sign him to an extension, which obviously could happen at any day, and we don't know. But if I'm Morgan Rielly's camp, and you did a great job of highlighting that his agent's J.P. Barrie, and he's a guy that gets a lot of money for his clients, why would Morgan Rielly stay long-term? If he's not signed by puck drop and doesn't want to be here, why the hell would he sign an extension when there's tons of money out there in free agency?
Yeah, I can't argue with you. I mean, J.P. Barrie was the one who handled Dougie Hamilton's future. And, you know, Dougie Hamilton said he loved Carolina. Carolina said he loved, they loved Dougie Hamilton,
but
you know?
But they love money more.
But, well, you know, it's life-changing money. It's your one chance to get the kind of contract that sets up you and your family for life. Do you blame Zach Hyman for leaving? Toronto kid. Took a discount the first time around. Morgan Rielly absolutely loves being a Maple Leaf, is a leader, is the longest tenured Leaf on the team, has really close friends on that team. But that's a hard thing to walk away. If you're a professional athlete and you have one chance to really knock it out of the park and set your family up financially, and the team you love is coming way under what the competition is offering you, can you blame the athlete? There's a short window to make money.
Absolutely.
A very short window to make money.
Yeah, absolutely. You can't blame the athlete. We would all do that as well. But if you let Morgan Rielly walk for nothing, the Leafs are immediately looking for another Morgan Rielly. And could there be a domino effect, Luke, if they don't re-sign Rielly here, that might lead to a trade of a guy like William Nylander, because you will absolutely have to bolster your blue line? Because are we sure Sandin can be that guy to pick up Morgan Rielly's slack?
We're not sure. But I think that's going to be a major storyline this season. I think Sheldon Keefe and Kyle Dubas have to figure out what they have in Rasmus Sandin. And I know he's young, and I know he's battled some adversity and had his development derailed by a pandemic and all that. But I think we saw a glimpse of the Morgan Rielly succession plan at the end of last season when they were giving Rasmus Sandin some reps on the top power play unit. To me, that said, you know, left shot, skilled offensively, playmaker, tough guy, eager for a larger role on the team, confident. I think they have to find out is this the guy? Because if he is, he's a heck of a lot cheaper than Morgan Rielly's going to be.
I think it's so fascinating what's going to happen with Morgan Rielly. The pressure around this team, that's obviously going to ramp up if this team eventually makes it to the Stanley Cup playoffs. Do you think those questions are going to be asked in the first day of training camp, or we're past that now already? We're looking past that. The players will say the generic. We've looked past it. We're moving towards this season. But how much ramped up pressure is even more on this organization heading into this year? And more specifically, you mentioned it, Kyle Dubas. Right, because I was a guy. I never thought that for a second that they would fire Kyle Dubas here. But is this the make or break year for Kyle Dubas when it comes to not only the pressure on the guys on the ice, but the general manager himself, because I don't know, Luke, how this guy survives if they lose in the first round of the playoffs again.
No, I agree with you. And, you know, I like Kyle, and I think he's done a lot of smart moves and a lot of outside-the-box things and maximize the cap space and really tweak every advantage that a team like Toronto can have under a hard cap. But this is his vision, right? And when the pandemic came and the cap flattened, he doubled down. He said, no, I'm not trading any member of the core four. I'm sticking with these guys, and I'm hunting for bargains at the fringes. This is his team. And I think he knows it. You know, I think he's ready to go down with the ship. But it's either going to be Kyle Dubas was too stubborn to change and adapt his view in the face of a suddenly flattened cap, or it's going to be this guy stuck to his vision, and despite the doubters, they finally broke through. You know, Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner are young men. William Nylander is a young man. They're going to have other chances. But to me, I think the focus now, if they don't make the playoffs, which you're saying isn't a certain thing, and I would agree it's not certain, if they get booted in the first round, I think, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that the pressure would fall on Dubas and Shanahan and Keith. Are they going to be the ones trusted with remaking the next season's roster if they don't have success?